listening to Glorious Morning, the breakfast show with a difference, right here on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
So it's called the sandwich generation, right? You know the feeling, right? You're right in the middle, squeezed between the high cost of raising your children and growing medical and financial needs of your aging parents, whether it's university fees on one side or chronic medication on the other, the pressure on your monthly budget can feel like a relentless tug of war. In a region where black tax is often a beautiful act of Ubuntu, but a heavy financial commitment, how do you support your loved ones without sacrificing your own retirement? Or worse off, you drowning in debt. So do join us as we converse this morning. Joining us on the line is Mariska van Wyk de Vries, who is joining us for our Sense with Sense segment. She comes through as a financial advisor at IWCP. Good morning to you, Mariska, and welcome to AWR.
Good morning, Derek. Thank you for having me.
Only a pleasure. Trusting that we find you well.
Yeah, no, very well. And your side?
No, we're okay. Thank you so much. And thank you for joining us, taking the opportunity to come through and speak to our listeners.
Oh, no, it's a pleasure.
Awesome stuff.
Education is important.
Indeed, indeed. And I think if there's any education that's important in these economic climate, it's finance education. We need it. We need it. We need it.
Definitely.
When we talk about the sandwich generation, from your perspective, what does that actually mean? I mean, in 2026, where we seem like there's more financial precarious nature, right? Than it was maybe a decade ago. What does that idea mean, financing the sandwich generation? What's that?
Okay, well, let's just start with what is the sandwich generation. That basically means you are looking after your kids, but yourself, and then your elderly parents as well. So financially, you have three generations that you are supporting with a single generation salary. So that in its own is quite precarious as Afrikaans is saying precarious as already. But we aren't just dealing with normal inflation, we're also dealing with lifestyle inflation coupled with stagnant growth. So if I just backtrack it a second, inflation means that I bought a burger 10 years or a decade ago for 20 rand. Today that same burger cost me 60 rand. So cost of living has just increased substantially over the last decade, yes. And never mind the fact that medical aid and school fees now consume a larger average percentage of a disposable income than it did even a decade ago. So for me, I feel like we as an economy have moved from a safe to a rainy day economy 10 years ago to a let's survive the storm economy right now.
Let's just deal with today, guys. Tomorrow we'll see it then.
It's tomorrow's problems.
Hey. Stats show that nearly half of all South Africans, South African households actually, are multi-generational, right? Also common in other countries in our region as well. So what are the primary budget killers of these sandwich families right now?
Well, in South Africa, the primary drain is our medical expenses. And then second to that, our living cost. Now, fuel is going up on Wednesday, which we all hopefully know about already.
Please don't remind us.
But even though transport is becoming really, really expensive quite soon, that has a domino effect. That means groceries are increasing. So our living costs takes a huge chunk of our disposable income. And then over and above that, your medical aid has become very expensive. And then you have to have gap cover on top of that because doctors are very expensive. Yep. And then you've got so many out-of-pocket costs. And if you are, especially if you are caring for elderly, the cost of chronic care is absolutely skyrocketing right now. So for me, I would say medical expenses and living costs is our biggest drain on the budget at the moment.
Yeah, that's a tough one. That's a tough one. And how would you then say building a budget that accounts for all these things, school fees on the one end and chronic medication on the other hand, or home-based care if you've got elderly parents, right? How would this budget, how will it be able to deal with the depleting of our own retirement, or do we then have to sacrifice something? Talk to us a bit about how we can build a budget for this kind of an expense system.
Well, Derek, thank you for a very hard, difficult question there. I appreciate that.
Thank you so much. I aim to please.
Well, for me, when you're building a budget, I always tell my clients, please follow the oxygen mask rule. Like, put the mask on yourself before you help others. Because if you don't prioritize your retirement, there is no retirement scholarship for you at the end of this little rainbow. You will be, in fact, putting your child in the next sandwich generation if you don't look after yourself first. So for me, that's a priority. But I do have like a favorite budgeting technique I like to teach my clients, specifically who's in the sandwich generation. And that is the three bucket system. So first bucket is your foundation. That's 50% of your income. And that is your non-negotiables, your bond, your groceries, your school fees, like everything you have to pay. Foundation.
Okay.
Second budget I call the bridge, which is 20% of your salary. And this is what I call the sandwich cost. So your parents' chronic meds or the extra tutor you want for your little one. It's really, really important to name this budget so you stop bleeding into your retirement.
Okay.
And then the third bucket is your future bucket. Now that's 30% of your income. Now this is your oxygen mask. It's your retirement annuity, your savings, your long-term wealth creations. 30% needs to go into this. And then just a really cool tip I normally tell my clients is if the bridge bucket buckles or starts overflowing because mom needs more care, we should not be taking from our future bucket. We need to look at the foundation and see if we can downscale or optimize.
Okay.
And that might mean I need a smaller car or a more fuel-efficient vehicle or something like that.
Yeah. And I think it's that idea of playing around with that foundation budget that we struggle with. We are so caught up in our expenses and our lifestyles, right? That to then try and say, no, guys, we need to maybe move to a smaller house. It's unthinkable. What do you mean I must get a smaller place or get a smaller car? Like you're saying, what I have is what I have and I must start taking from the future. Whereas like you're saying, if we don't fix the future right now, we will be then creating another sandwich generation for tomorrow, won't we?
We definitely would. Nobody likes downgrading their lifestyle, but at some stage, if you can't uphold your lifestyle, it's better to downgrade now and not use tomorrow's money by borrowing more money today.
That is true. Now, especially when you talk black tax, right? Discussing finances with elders, that can be a bit of a sore and a taboo subject even to say, hey, I can't give you so much as I used to before or something like that. How can we have the talk with our parents about their resources with tact and even maybe some patience for them as well?
Well, across the board, just talking to your parents about money has always been a taboo conversation. So if you thought having the birds and bees talk with your kid was difficult, I think this one is much more so. The problem is many families actually just avoid talking about money until there is a crisis. And the moment there's already a crisis, you have zero time to actually prep for it. So in my household specifically, we talk about money almost daily. Like it's a normal conversation in our household. I've normalized that for my kids. And I think it's quite important to do that in your household as well. It shouldn't be a taboo conversation. It should be a normal one. And what I found works really nice to start opening that gate, because please don't go in there with a full-on in-depth money conversation for the first time ever with your parents. It's not going to work.
All right.
but start asking them questions. Mom, Dad, I've got my pension fund. Do you feel I should do a retirement annuity? How are you planning for your retirement? Maybe start with that type of conversation and just start opening the gates a little bit at a time.
Yeah, I'm just trying to imagine that happening. This is definitely a big conversation to be having. And I think Because what might happen is, I'm just trying to think of the response, you know, so you don't want to take care of us. We're saying we're a burden on you and we think it will trouble you. And, you know, it's already backfiring and you're thinking, okay, how do I? And I think to just try and play this around in your mind and start slow. I like this idea you're bringing across. Start small, start slow and build up a bit over and over. And maybe start with even what you are planning for yourself, right? Say, hey, I was thinking like this and I just wanted to hear your take on it. Is this wise? You know, what are you doing? And then you can move over to what they are doing for themselves. I think that's really, really brilliant, and thank you for that. How do you say no? Yeah, this one is always a tough one. To wider family.
Just adding on the more difficult questions.
How do you say no to people who are, especially family, when they ask for this and for that and you're already on a stringent budget?
Yeah. Okay, so for me, I feel boundaries are love. So saying no to a cousin's request might actually be the yes to keep your parents in their house. Mm. So a good strategy to use is use the budget as your bad guy. Say something like, I would love to help, but my family's budget for support this month is already committed. So use that. Mm. And then maybe shift the focus from giving money to giving your time or guidance for a situation.
Okay. But Mariska, I don't want to be called budget. Because now if I keep giving the budget excuse, then they're going to start calling me Mr. Budget.
Well, if you miss the budget, that means you're actually looking after your money. So is it really a bad thing?
Well, it's a name calling, I guess, where the challenge is. You know, I've got a couple I know where when you would ask them for money, they always have money. And they would always mention it. We always have money because they've got the system that works for them. Not that they earn so much. No, it's just that they're very savvy with their finances. So they would always have money. And so family would want to come. But now when you ask them, be prepared. Because they would then say, okay, no, not a problem. We've received your request. Can we book an appointment with you? Then they would come to your house and then have a look at your house, have a look at what is happening in your home, give you a lecture on money, and then say, so let's see, what is it actually that you need for money? We are willing to give you the money, but are you sure you're managing your finances properly? Otherwise, we're going to now have a problem tomorrow where you can't pay back the money, and then also you want more money from us. So let's teach you money than just give you and spoon feed you with money. And I'm thinking, yo, I don't know if I've got guts for that, though.
But that's the best way to do that.
True.
Like, how else are you going to learn from somebody that's close to you that's doing it right?
That's certainly, but you need to have the courage. But like you're saying, unless if you're saying you've got the money for the world, then you've got to change something, right? And move into this kind of territory.
You definitely need though.
for those, which I think is the majority of the working class, the sandwich generation, how can they teach their own children financial independence to ensure that they don't become the next layer of the sandwich, like we were saying earlier on?
Well, financial literacy is a life skill, like you actually just said. So you need to start teaching your children these valuable skills because the schools won't be teaching them.
Yeah.
So one way to do this is show them that money is a tool to use. It's a tool to buy your freedom. It's not just there to buy you stuff. So if they actually see you navigate your family's financials with a map, with a strategy, they will grow up wanting their own map and their own strategies for when they're young, older and earning income. Mm-hmm. So it's very important to teach, well, firstly, to keep the money conversation open in your household. It shouldn't be a taboo conversation, even with your little ones.
Yeah.
And then to teach them the skills of, I need to earn my money, but when I have earned my money, I need to give a certain percentage away. I need to save a certain percentage and I need to spend the other percentage.
And
kids are more taught by seeing what you do than actually what you tell them to do.
That's so true. That is so true. Hey, you know, I've got a comment here coming through on our WhatsApp line. One of our listeners saying, family is in the budget always. And I think before you're too quick to answer, Mariska, I think that's a dangerous statement because what it's saying is yes, I can budget for family, but it's also maybe can be used to mean there will always be budget for family. Right. Remember, I think it was Bobby Scott who wrote that famous ballad. Mm-hmm. He is not heavy. He is my brother. right? To say, no matter how much I've now gone into the lengths of my limits and I've spent, everything is covered. Mm-hmm. But if my brother comes, I will always have room for him. I can't, how do I live with myself and say, you know, I've got money in my annuity retirement or in my holiday plan, but my brother has got no money for food because of whatever reason it might be. So I don't know, how do we balance that thinking to say, no, there's budget for family, like you're saying, we must put the budget for that, but also there's always budget for family.
Well, actually budgeting for family and telling them you've budgeted for family is two different things. Mm-hmm. So yes, I like to have a rainy day fund for if something should happen, okay, whether it's in my household or one of my siblings' households, or if there's a need, at least this rainy day fund is available. Mm-hmm. I'm not broadcasting it to my siblings.
True. Let's hope they're not listening to that. Close your eyes, guys, if you're listening.
Yes. Yes, making sure there is provisions and actually telling them there's provisions, that's two different things. So also when you tell them, don't worry, I'll always be here to support you, that means you're spoon feeding. Mm. And you don't want to. Everybody needs to, even whether you're 30 and you haven't learned some financial life skills yet, then it's a really good time to do that. And the best way to do that is to sit with a financial advisor and go through your finances and have that financial talk and see where you can cut down or. So go through that process before you start expecting somebody else to look after you.
Yeah, that is so true.
I don't know if I actually answered your question correctly there, though.
No, but you made sense. You made sense to say there must be that limit. And I guess there also needs, I think one of the questions we asked earlier on was about the no, right? The power of the no. So there needs to come a space as well where you then say, no, yes, you're my brother. Yes, you're my family. But I can't assist right now. Otherwise, you create this, you know, mentality of leeching and always relying because they know you always provide for them. And sometimes a no is okay. You know, I remember somebody who would have a brother where they would ask and they would always provide and then move around, like you're saying, the foundational budget, and then where they were going to have some fancy meals, they cut on that and make do with just the basics. And then they found that, no, when the brother gets money, he is lavishing, buying designer brands for this and that. And like, wait a minute. Oh, so I'm now basically feeding your habits, right? Because, you know, when you then miss the foundational things in your home, you can always come to me and I can do around with my own budget. So I think that's very important. The power of the no, in addition just to that family budget. I want to conclude with this one. And I think it's something that perhaps South Africans will feel the most pinched on. I mean, you were mentioning issue of fuel just recently. And I think we're going to be hit with a record high, I think 5 to 6 rand increase, which is really going to be a shock on most people. If a listener is listening right now and they're overwhelmed, right? What is the one small, perhaps 1% change that you can encourage them to make to their monthly budget so that they can perhaps start breathing again despite the overwhelming expenses on their plate?
Well, besides making sure your petrol tank is full by Tuesday, right?
I was speaking of that before, and before you come back, I was speaking to somebody, and I'm not too sure of the veracity of this, but they were saying that they went to their garage and they were told, no, we can't fill your tank. We can give you the most of 500. So just be careful. Maybe you might want to do a round of circling around your neighborhood to fill a bit here, a bit there, a bit there. But certainly we need to fill by Tuesday.
Start today just for in case.
Yeah.
But to actually answer your original question, what I tell people is if you need 1% of change, just audit your apps. We all have what I call these zombie subscriptions. So if your 1% move is then to cancel one 200 Rand subscription, that is you taking control of 1% of your money. Mm-hmm. As long as you gain some confidence in tackling that. So then the other 99% becomes a little bit easier.
I like that. And hey, those subscriptions are usually draining us, right?
you have a subscription, you forget about it, and 3 years later, you're still billed for it. It's kind of how it goes, right?
So true, so true. Well, thank you so much, Mariska. Any parting shots for today?
Parting shots, I'll leave you with being in the sandwich generation is the testament of your love and relationships and responsibilities. Mm-hmm. But remember, a bridge can only hold weight if its own pillars are strong. So build your financial pillars first, so you can continue to support those that lean on you.
100%. 100%. Build the pillars and you'll be able to continue tomorrow. Thank you so much, Mariska. I really appreciate your time this morning. God bless you.
Thank you, Derek. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you. And that's how we draw to the conversation's end right there. Talking finances this morning as we help you to budget even for this, we call it the sandwich generation, right? Pressed, hard pressed from every side. Mariska van Wyk de Vries there joining us this morning as we were looking at finances. She joins us as a financial expert, right? She's a financial advisor. And we are hoping that perhaps on your end, this conversation helped you save a little more to help you for tomorrow. It's available as a podcast.
Have you missed out on any interesting discussions from Adventist World Radio SID Media? Simply go to www.sidmedia.org to listen to all podcasts and previous shows. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.